Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them, those words and sayings, not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Keep those words and sayings in the midst of your heart. Verse 22, for they, the words and the sayings, are life. What's life? The words and the sayings. For they are life unto those that find them, and health, or medicine, as the marginal rendering says of many Bibles, and medicine to all their flesh. This word will medicate us. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. Well, we've looked over at John the 14th chapter and found out Jesus said, we'll just paraphrase it out of the Greek text, glory to God, if you see me doing something, that's the Father doing it. If you hear me saying something, that's the Father saying it. Amen. Over in Hebrews the 1st chapter, verse 2, God's speaking to us now, glory to God, through the mouthpiece of His Son, Jesus. Glory to God. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Now go back with me, if you would please, to Luke the 17th chapter, and let's get back into the word, the fresh word, glory to God, the fresh manna. Now we talked about the blood last night and the important part it plays in our healing. Not only, glory to God, in the new birth, but the healing of our physical bodies also and our prosperity. Now we started out and went through, I don't know, about 14, 15 days through the book of Matthew, inclining our ears unto the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning healing. Now we've gone over into the book of Luke, glory to God, and we're here in chapter 17. So let's go on, glory to God. Verse 11, are you ready? And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Remember last night I said the Talmud says that they had to be at least 100 paces away. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. We spent all last night speaking on that Jesus is a stickler for the word, and he was fulfilling what the old covenant required. And then we went into what God had prescribed for the priest to do, glory to God, hallelujah, with the blood of the bird, and to signify not only the cleansing from sin, but the cleansing from sickness. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Everybody say cleansed. Cleansed. In other words, in accordance with the law, the open sores on their skin had disappeared. And the priest had to examine that to make sure that it wasn't red, that it wasn't brownish. It could be a certain color brownish because that could just be a freckle in the skin. I mean, the law really got down to it, but they had to be shown to be totally clean so that they wouldn't be contagious when they went out into public. And we're not going to spend any more time on that tonight. But just notice, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, everybody say healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. We want you to notice this, my brothers and sisters. Number one, it said, he glorified God with a loud voice. Everybody say loud voice.
Loud voice.
The word loud there in Greek is megas, where we, you know, you talk about, it's a mega this, it's a mega that, same word, okay? It means great, big, loud, boisterous. In other words, he didn't go back and say, oh, thank you. I mean, he did it with a loud voice. Everybody say loud.
Loud.
With a loud voice, he glorified God. I'm getting ready to show you how to get into the healing power of God. I mean, this timidity thing with God's not going to make it any longer. This just coming and going, oh, praise you, Jesus. It's just not going to make it. Now, we started out last Sunday morning service, and if you weren't here, oh my, did you ever miss it? We started out and we went through the scriptures on shouting unto the Lord. And we're all the places in the Psalms, at least most of the places in the Psalms, where it speaks about shouting unto God, making that loud, triumphant noise. And I tell you what, this place went Holy Ghost berserk. And the next thing we know, God is prophesying, and tongues and interpretation of tongues are occurring, glory to God. The word of knowledge, the gifts of the Holy Ghost come flying through because people just did what the Bible said to do. Now, this man came and glorified God with a loud voice. I tell you what, my brothers and sisters, you're going to find out as we go through this night that you glorifying God with a loud voice and dumping the timidity is going to get you a long ways with God. It will get you further with God than your pedigree, who you were born to, who you weren't born to, glory to God. God likes people who will just unashamedly and without timidity praise Him at the top of their lungs. Glory be unto God. And not only in front of people, but more importantly, in your private life. Glory to God. Amen. You say, do you do it? Yes, that's why my voice sounds the way it does. Because I'm always shouting unto God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ooh. Praise the Lord. Now let's just look at something else in Luke 19, just over a page or two. Luke 19, I'm giving you a clue to getting Jesus' attention. Verse 29, you know the story well. And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. I declare you need to go to Israel with me. I've been on the Mount of Olives, 30, 40 times. And you need to be there with me, glory to God. At the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. And don't give me that I'm afraid stuff. The devil can't stop you when you're in the middle of God's will. Verse 30, saying, go ye into the village over against you, and the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat, loose him and bring him hither. And if a man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose you the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now, they weren't all saying that in unison, but that's a consensus of what this mighty multitude of people were saying. They were glorifying God and giving thanks to God with a loud voice. Thank you. Thank you, honey. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Honey, you're so pretty. Glory to God. I just didn't tell you that tonight. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's nice to have a preacher that thinks his wife's pretty. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I won't go on with that. Glory to God. A loud voice glorified God back in chapter 17. And something else, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. People don't fall down on his face at the feet of Jesus nearly enough. In fact, if you go through the Bible or the New Testament, generally, most often, the word for worship is the Greek word where we get the word prostrate from, making ourselves prostrate before him. So when it speaks of worship in the New Testament, it's not just talking about standing, lifting our little hands to the Lord. It's talking about putting ourselves on the ground, on our face, glory to God, worshiping Jesus and praising Jesus and giving thanksgiving unto Jesus, glory to God. Amen. There's your chance to say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to train some of you up in the way you should go, I see. Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah. A little louder. Hallelujah. Oh, don't get nervous. Everybody say it a little louder. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wasn't always this way. I used to be one of those kind that'd go to my mom and dad's church and I'd be on the back row going, what are these lunatics doing? Used to be one of those. Now I'm one of them, glory to God. Maybe the chief of the group. I'm a shouter. I love to shout and praise the Lord. Notice two things that he did. He gave a mega voice glorifying God, and he fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanksgiving. Now let's look on. And Jesus answering, we got to go back to verse 16 because something very important is here. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And the Holy Ghost wants us to know about this man, and he was a Samaritan, which would give me insight into possibly that the other lepers were Jews, but this man was a Samaritan. He was not a Jew. He was an outsider. He did not have a covenant. Are you listening? He did not have a covenant of healing. He did not have a covenant for salvation. He was without a covenant because he wasn't Jewish. Now, he had some Jewish blood in because the Samaritan did. Some of them did. But we won't get into that. But anyway, he was an outsider. He did not have a covenant of healing. Now, matter of fact, we're going to look tonight at three people without a covenant whom God blessed with his presence. In other words, they didn't have the right pedigree. They weren't raised up believing this message, but yet they got something from God, because what pedigree won't get you, faith will. Doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, faith will get you what you need. Glory to God. So remember that. He was Samaritan. He wasn't Jewish. And Jesus answering and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So this outsider had accessed the covenant of God by his demonstration of faith. And his demonstration of faith was that he worshiped God or Jesus with a loud voice and fell down on his face at his feet and gave thanksgiving unto God for what had been wrought in his body. God equates that to faith. Let me tell you what, worship conceived in the heart of a person who believes, glory to God, is faith in action. That's why people who won't worship the Lord very seldom get any place, because worship is faith in action, and faith is what moves God on your behalf. It says this in Hebrews. Well, just go over there with me. Turn over to Hebrews. Hallelujah. The 6th chapter. That's not where I want to go. Hallelujah. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Verse 6, hallelujah. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And this leper, glory be unto God, pleased the Father God and Jesus, and he pleased him with his faith. He didn't please him with who his mama and daddy were. He didn't please him by the fact that he didn't go to the synagogue with the Jews. He didn't please him with the fact that he stood away. What pleased God with this man was his faith. I just sense I need to stay on that. God's not moved by the way you look. I'm going to say it again. He's not moved by who you come from, and he's not moved by who you don't come from. All he's moved by is faith, and faith manifested itself by worship unto God. That means any one of us in here who believes that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him can raise up our voices. I'm talking really loudly tonight, but it just, glory to God, it's in my spirit so heavily that if we will just yield to our spirit and worship him, glory to God, with a loud voice, heaven will move for you. I'm going to say it again. Heaven will move for you. I'm going to say it again. Heaven will move for me if I just worship the Lord with everything within me. Hallelujah. Heaven will move for you, Jason. Heaven will move for you. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's John, right? John, heaven will move for you. If you just pull yourself up and you just show the Lord and you say, Lord, I love you. I believe you exist. I believe you'll reward me if I move in faith. And you just start worshiping Him and shouting unto Him and giving Him thanks, glory to God. Hallelujah. We say, I don't have much to give Him thanks for. Well, you just give Him thanks for what's getting ready to happen. Amen. He'll turn everything wrong in your life and make it right. If you just get in the room by yourself and lift up your hands and come to church and shout when the rest of the people are shouting. You were here Sunday, weren't you? Everybody's shouting. You weren't here Sunday? Oh, well, you should have been here. Glory to God. I tell you, we're together so much right now. And they're all just kind of running together. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. You don't want to miss Sunday. Oh, Sunday, I mean the Holy Ghost is just ready to get loose again. Amen. You know the purpose of your service. We're teaching now. Glory to God. A little preach thrown in there every once in a while. But I tell you what, Sunday morning has been wild. Hallelujah. Now look over here with me again to Luke 17. Luke 17. Praise the Lord. Because I want you to see something. Verse 19. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. The word whole is the Greek word sozo, which many of you know if we were to transliterate it, S-O-Z-O. Sozo, sounds like a good name for a soft drink. Glory to God. Sozo, it means temporal deliverance, material deliverance, but also it's translated the way it is in John 10, if you'll turn there, verse 9, and this is the way it's normally translated in the New Testament. John 10, 9, I am the door, Jesus said, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Back up in verse 9, the word saved. He shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That word saved is the same word, sozo, that's translated as whole. It is, my brothers and sisters, the same word that appears throughout the book of Romans as saved and saved. In other words, this outsider not only got cleansed from his topical condition, but here was a man that leprosy, and I don't know if you know what leprosy does to people, but leprosy will eventually cause their flesh to deteriorate to the point where their fingers fall off. Their feet will fall off, their noses fall off, their ears fall off. Again, my Discovery Channel, they're interviewing people without noses, without fingers, without hands, without feet. Those other people just got the topical difficulties fixed. This man, by turning and worshiping God, not only got that, but God made him whole. Everything that was missing came back on. The fingers that were gone grew back on. The nose that was missing came back on his face. The skin that was rotted off came back on. In other words, he could walk through society and not just be a contagion, but glory to God, walk through society and nobody would take a second look because he had been made whole. But not only that, this outsider without the proper pedigree, without the proper covenant, glory to God, entered into a pre-crucifixion, resurrection, salvation, an Old Testament salvation, glory to God, that if he would have died that day, he would have gone into Abraham's bosom, and when Jesus died and went to the cross and went to the depths of hell and then stopped at Abraham's bosom and preached deliverance to the captives in captivity there in Abraham's bosom, he would rise up with all of those who came and rose with Jesus and walked from the earth for 40 days. In other words, he grabbed a salvation of the old covenant. Without a covenant, listen, without a covenant, without pedigree, without being related to the right people, And the way he did it, he accessed it by faith, and his faith was manifested through his worship. I tell you what, you can get anything you need. I don't care how difficult. It's not any more difficult than what this man had been through in his life. Oh, my brothers and sisters. Well, that ought to be worth a hallelujah. I don't know. I mean, he yelled with a loud voice. He glorified God. I mean, when the situation's the worst, that's when you need to raise up your voice the loudest and glorify him and magnify his holy and precious name. Glory be unto God. And then fall down on your face before him. If you're not on your face before God every day, there's something wrong. Well, you know, it's just not my personality. I don't care about personalities. I just don't care about personalities. I learned about getting on my face before God from my grandma and my mama. They were on their face before the Lord all the time. Well, my mama wasn't. Well, your pedigree doesn't matter. Start it yourself right now. Just get down on your face before the Lord and just start giving him thanks. It's such a simple little sermon, but it'll get you so far. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, let's look at something else. Glory to God. Let's go back to Matthew. Hallelujah. Go back to Matthew, the 15th chapter. You know, I was teaching out of Matthew, and I skipped over this passage because it was dealing with deliverance, not just healing. So I skipped over it and went down, and we started teaching about diet and how important diet was. Oh, hallelujah, amen. Food can take you to a place that the anointing can't reach. Yeah, I got all that out of that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord's good now. Now let's look at this. Verse 21. And the reason why my spirit wants to go back there, because here's another person who does not have the pedigree, a Gentile woman, and she does the exact same thing that the leper did. And she gets Jesus' attention. I'm giving you the prelude here. This is the overture to the story. She did the same thing. She gets Jesus' attention and brings salvation to her household. Now let's look here. Verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Well, you can hold your finger there, or you don't have to, and I'll just go over to Mark 7. Because Mark 7, verse 26 says, concerning this woman, the woman was a Greek, or she was a Gentile, whenever you see Greek, Gentile. The woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Verse 21 again in Matthew 15. So she was a Syrophoenician. She was from the coastline of the Mediterranean, what is now modern-day Lebanon. She was a Canaanite by pedigree, which seemingly would not be a good thing to be a Canaanite. Verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Let me tell you something. You know, we've looked a couple of times that Jesus didn't respond. And some people might just think Jesus is rude. No, Jesus is obedient to the word. Jesus was waiting on his ministry. Jesus didn't respond until he heard from the Father in his spirit how to respond. Jesus just didn't throw words out. He threw the right words out. What some people will evaluate as being rude and cruel and crude is just a man waiting on God. Amen. Oh, my, my, my. How much better our lives would be, each and every one, if we'd have kept our mouth shut at a time or two and waited on the Lord and said the right thing instead of the wrong thing. Amen. Oh, blessed be God. Oh, yeah. I wonder if parents ever wish they would have just waited just a second before they said what they did to their children. I wonder if their children wish that they had just waited a second before they said what they did to their parents. I wonder if pastors like me ever wish they hadn't have said something. Oh boy, I could write a book dealing with people. Oh, but thanks be unto God, I'm getting a little older. Hallelujah. I'm embarrassed at some of the things that I've said to people. Embarrassed. But we're growing up in the Lord. That's why it was good. Probably Jesus didn't start his ministry till he was 30. Instead of starting it at 23 like I did. Glory to God. Praise be unto the Lord. I said, praise be unto the Lord. Hallelujah. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. His disciples did not take his lead in this. They didn't oftentimes. Send her away, she's bugging us. That could be the quick response in a lot of things when dealing with people. Just get rid of them. That's not always God's response. You know, God wants us to work with people sometimes, just not launch them. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Amen. We'd just be better off if they were on the road. Is that what the Lord said? Glory to God. Going on. Verse 24. But he answered and said, oh, he heard from heaven. This is a saying of the Lord God, saying of Jesus. We're supposed to incline our ear to this. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus' ministry was concerned with Israel. The church was only conceived in the mind and heart of God. That was to come after the resurrection at the day of Pentecost. Jesus' ministry was concerned with Israel and the Jewish people. Glory be unto God. Now, some people don't understand that. That's why Jesus said things many times that seem to contradict what the Apostle Paul says. Well, no, Jesus is dealing with a different group of people than the Apostle Paul was dealing with. Jesus was dealing with Jews that were not born again because Jesus hadn't been sacrificed yet. And the Apostle Paul was dealing with born again ones because the sacrifice had occurred and people had already believed on him and received the benefits, the redeeming benefits of his blood. So he was dealing with two different kinds of people. Spiritually dead ones and spiritually alive ones. And so different things, different conditions of humans, glory to God, requires different dealings with them. Going on, that's another sermon altogether. But he said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him. Her first movement towards Jesus basically got her rebuked by the disciples and got her ignored. But she's making another advance towards the Savior. Some people just give up the first time. Well, he didn't hear me, so I'm just giving up. Some people give up the second and third and fourth. My wife was telling me today she's wanting me to get to the scripture about being importune in prayer, where you just keep on knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. And because of his importunity, the master of the house came to the door. Some people give up in one little knock. Just keep going. Well, there's another sermon right there. Just keep going after him. Then came she and worshipped him. Let me read to you exactly what the Greek text says. The Greek text says, because it's in the imperfect tense, when it's in the imperfect tense in Greek, for those of you who don't study it, it means that it not only happens once, or it's not just a quick thing, but once it occurs, this thing remains for a period of time. And that's difficult to translate in English. But it's in the imperfect tense, and it says this in Greek, she threw herself at his feet, because it's that same word for worship that I was telling you about earlier. Threw herself at his feet and remained there in the imperfect Greek. So she not only just bowed down before him, she launched herself at his feet. And the word also means worship, to kiss and to fondle. So not only when they're worshiping him and throwing herself at his feet, They are kissing his feet. They are touching his feet and holding his feet and worshiping in him there. Now, I want you to get that. She just didn't get down there and get right back up. Glory to God. Worship isn't just, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we just praise you. Let's go, kids. Get in the car. No, my brothers and sisters. Worship requires us some commitment to the act where we worship him and we fall down before him or stand, glory to God. Sometimes it's difficult in the church chair. Hasn't stopped me a lot, but it's just lift your hands up and you worship him and you make that contact with the Spirit and you just stay there for a while. Threw herself at his feet and remained there. Ooh, that's good stuff. Then came she, threw herself at his feet, and remained there saying, Lord, help me. Now, she's undoubtedly gotten his attention now. And he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread. Notice what he's calling healing and deliverance, the children's bread. He's dealing with a Gentile woman without covenant of healing. She's without a God in this world, Ephesians 2 tells us. Without a God, just like we were, without a God in this world, a Gentile, the wrong pedigree, came from the wrong nation of the earth, did not have the promises of Moses, and Jesus said to her, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs, the Jewish name for the Gentile. The Apostle Paul called them the same. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She's worshiping him. She's at his feet. She is remaining there at his feet. He says that healing and deliverance does not belong unto you. It belongs to my children, the chosen ones, the elect. And she says, yes, but even the Gentiles eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as you will. Remember we talked about it's not only as his will for us, it's what he wants to know what we will, what our will is. It's just not what God's will for us is. It's what our will for him is to do for us. He is concerned with what we desire from him. He is concerned about what we want from him. Now notice this. Everybody say, he cares about what I want.
He cares about what I want.
Say it again.
He cares about what I want.
I'm just not sure I can bother him with that. But yes, you can. Bother him. Bother him with it. And if he doesn't answer you, bother him some more. And if he doesn't answer you, just keep laying yourself before him and worshiping him with all of your might. And don't let go of his foot until he responds. And when he approves of your faith, remember worship, glory to God, is a manifestation of faith. Worship and faith are really basically the same thing. It's just an outward show of what's going on inside your heart. Glory to God. Just take a hold of his foot, symbolically speaking. I just take a hold of his foot and stay there till you hear about him, hear from him. Some people just want something so quick. You're not going to get things in God quickly. You've got to pay the price. You've got to pay the price. And if you're willing to pay the price, you can get anything that you will and that you want from the Almighty God if you're willing to pay the price. I'm not talking about begging him. I'm talking about worshiping him. I'm talking about praising him and giving him thanks, glory to God. Giving him thanks for not only what he's done, but giving him thanks for what he's about to do, glory to God. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because faith calleth those things that be not as though they were. So you give him thanks before you even see him, because you're calling things that be not as though it already was, glory to God. So you carry on your life. I was talking to my wife tonight. And I just, I've got more casual clothes than what I have on now. I got some slacks, and I got nice shirts, and I got silk shirts. God blesses me, and I got nice clothes. But this week, this month, I just had it in my spirit that I was supposed to wear a suit every night. You know, and some people are coming more relaxed, which is fine. This is something God dealt with my heart about. And I just felt like that I should wear a suit every night. And I was telling my wife tonight, she came in and she said, I just felt like I was supposed to dress up a little more tonight. And I said, well, let me tell you what it is. I said, my faith is to the point that it's above a handful of people. And so you've got to start acting like you've got what you already see. Glory be unto God. Now, when I travel and I preach in front of 2,000, 2,500 people, 2,700 people, I wear a suit. I don't come casually. So you've got to act like it is already that way. Glory be unto God. I said, that's just the way it is. That's what God's dealt with my spirit about. Praise the Lord. My wife was telling me she's listening to a Brother Hagin tape. And Brother Hagin gets going on it. And he gets going on, I think it's a minister's meeting. And it gets going on ministers who don't dress up for the pulpit. Is it a minister's meeting, honey?
Well, he's talking about when he calls ministers up specifically to lay hands on them.
Okay. And so he's teaching it and he's talking about how, you know, ministers ought to look the part when they stand in the pulpit. She was telling me this yesterday. She said he'll go to these meetings and call ministers up to minister, lay hands on them, you know, for impartation. And he says some people come up and the preacher's wives are in short shorts and the pastors and the ministers are in T-shirts and shorts and all that kind of stuff. And Brother Hagin says, so he restates, he says, this is for people who are in the full-time ministry thinking that maybe he made a mistake. And are you listening? And there's just something about ministers. You know, some people are going more and more casually. There's something in me that just says, well, you got to represent yourself a certain way for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Preachers especially. Glory to God. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching about me and my thing. And you can do what your heart convicts you to do. You've got to work out your own salvation. Amen. I'm working out mine. You work out yours. Amen? Amen? Then he got to talking about Smith Wigglesworth, and he was staying with a minister and his wife. Was it 4:30 in the morning? And at 4:30 in the morning, Smith Wigglesworth comes and knocks on the door just opens the door. He knocks on the bedroom door of the pastor and his wife or the minister and his wife. And he comes in. It's 4:30 in the morning, and he's dressed in his three-piece suit, starched shirt, delivers the word of the Lord to them. And then a little bit later, they go downstairs for breakfast, and Smith's in his casual clothes. And the minister said, now wait, at 4:30 you were in a suit, now you're not. And he says, at 4:30 I was doing the Lord's work. Yeah. Whew, that just sent it all the way through me. That's going all the way through me. That just ministered to me. Glory to God. When you're doing the Lord's work, glory to God, we need to just look at. Glory to God. The Lord's good. Hallelujah. Now, even though I have my pinstripes, it does not mean I'm doing a funeral. I refuse to do one. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Look at this. Then came she and worshipped him again in verse 25, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dog. We're the children of the Lord too now, glory to God, because of the blood. And healing and deliverance, still the children's bread. It belongs to us for our nourishment. Healing is for us, and we're to be nourished with His healing power.
Hallelujah.
Verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole. That's that same word, sozo, from that very hour. I mean, the girl got totally delivered from the demon possession. Her body was totally healed. Her mind was straightened out. And because of the woman's faith, that old covenant salvation entered into that house of Gentiles. Without a covenant and worship, my brothers and sisters, it's going through me tonight. It's just going through me. Worship will put you in a place that nothing else will put you in. Nothing can take you where worship will take you. Well, you just tell the Lord how much you love Him. You just tell the Lord how much you care for him. You say, well, I don't know if I love him very much. Well, you better spend enough time with him so he'll bless you and you'll know how good he is. Just take a taste of him and he'll make you feel good about yourself. And then you'll feel really good about him. And then you'll find out this man is worthy of me worshiping him. I got to this Gentile and the Spirit of the Lord raised another Gentile up on the inside of me. And go with me, if you would please, to Joshua. This one's not so much healing, it's deliverance. Hallelujah. You all know her. Her name's Rahab. She's the harlot. That means she made her living performing favors for men. I don't think I need to get into the Discovery Channel expose on that. Chapter 2, I turned that one off. Verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to the spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now let's go down to verse 8. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard, everybody say, we have heard.
We have heard.
Well, what comes by hearing?
Faith.
We have heard. And so faith begins to be built in her. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. I think it's interesting that she just didn't say Lord. She said our word for this teaching. She said Jehovah. So there would be no mistake that it was some whittled out god of the Canaanites. She said Jehovah.
Amen.
All capital letters in the Authorized Version in the King James is Jehovah. Jehovah is the redemptive God. Jehovah is the God that makes covenant. He makes contract with blood. She just didn't use any old name. She used the Jehovah that was the covenant God. And who did he covenant with? He covenanted with the Jews. She knows she's outside the loop, but she calls right then upon the name of the covenant God with the Jews. Let me say again, she's outside the loop, but she knew who she was calling on.
Amen.
Oh, my brothers and sisters, it's going through my bones. We got to know who we're calling on, glory to God. When it comes to healing, we got to know who we're calling on. We're calling on the man who is the covenant God, who makes contract with us, written in blood, gave us the New Testament, established and founded on the blood of his Son. And my brothers and sisters, that means when he said it, he will do it. Now look, because I want you to see this, Psalm 89, verse 34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. If God said it, David, he will not change his mind, and his mouth will never say anything other than what he's already said the first time. Get that scripture again in Psalm 89:34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. If he said, I have healed you, he has healed us, and he's not going to change it one bit.
Hallelujah.
His covenant he will not break. Oh, blessed be God. Go back to Joshua, the second chapter with me. Thank you, Lord. Verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord Jehovah dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. Remember the other night when we were talking about getting rid of fear? What did I tell you was one of the main things you had to do? You had to bring up before you all of these stories in the Word of God where God triumphed magnificently over the foes of Israel. If you're ever going to rid fear out of your life, you have to remember what the Lord has done, so you'll know what he's willing to do for you in the future. Here's this little Gentile woman without a covenant, no God in this earth, and the first thing she starts doing, the town's getting ready to fall, and she knows it. First thing she starts doing, is bringing up the exploits of Jehovah, the covenant God.
Hallelujah.
And notice what it says, and as soon as we have had heard these things, everybody say heard. Our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord Jehovah, I want you to get these next words because you got to know it in Hebrew. For the Lord Yahweh, your Elohim. Elohim is how God appears in the Genesis, in Bereshit, the book of beginnings. And in Genesis, Elohim is the one that stood out. The first three chapters, God is only known by Elohim. It simply, we'll just whittle it down, it means the Creator. And God, Elohim, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, because Elohim ends with Im. It's Yud Mim in Hebrew, and it's like putting an S on the end of our words. It means more than one. Elohim means God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In verse 26 of chapter 1 of Genesis, it says, and let us, plural, make man in our image, plural, Elohim. Now this one is saying, this one outside the house of Israel says, for Jehovah, the redemptive covenant God, the Creator. The Creator in heaven above, and the Creator in earth beneath. Man, I read that today and it reminded me of something that we have been reading every morning in prayer. In Acts, the 4th chapter, verse 24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord in worship and said, Lord, thou art God which has made, which has created heaven and created earth and created the sea and all that in them is. They are worshiping God with the fact that He is the Creator, and they are going through all that He created. Folks, let me tell you what. You start worshiping God and say, Lord, I just worship You and praise You and glorify You. You, the great God, Elohim, the Creator that's created the earth, that has created the sea and everything that's in it, that has created all of heaven, that has created all the stars and flung them into space. I praise You. I worship You, great and mighty Creator. All of a sudden, God becomes really, really big, and that little $500 that you're believing Him for is really, really small to a guy who created everything that is.
Hallelujah.
And this little girl, it's coming out to me just like over there. For the Lord Jehovah, the covenant God, the one that is established and redeemed, Elohim, the Creator, the one who created heaven above and created the earth beneath. I tell you what, you talk about a faith builder. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me, verse 12, chapter 2 of Joshua, in case you haven't gone back. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord Jehovah, the redemptive and covenant God. Man, if she can get them to swear on His name, then it is covenant. And it will not be broken, nor will the thing alter that cometh forth out of these spies' lips. So they go down. Since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. We've got a Gentile woman who lifts up the covenant benefits of the Jewish God, and then she starts wanting salvation for her entire household, who are also without covenant and without a God. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be when the Lord Jehovah hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let him down by a cord through the window. And we know what they told her to do for a sign that it was her house. She was to hang a scarlet cord, a scarlet line outside the window. It is a type of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The redemptive God had been on the scene. And the redemption is coming to her household. So here's this little Gentile woman who's raising up the benefits and the exploits of God. And it's so wild Because this little woman, most of you know, lived in the wall. Everybody say the wall.
The wall.
She lived right there in the wall. And what fell down in Jericho? The wall. She's living in the wall. The walls came tumbling down except for one little section that held her house. Oh, my brothers and sisters. Deliverance came because of faith. And I believe over in that passage, she was giving forth the exploits of the covenant God. That's worship when you do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The walls came tumbling down. The wall fell down flat, chapter 6, verse 20 says. And then in verse 25, let's verse 25 of chapter 6. And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Verse 22 and 23 says, but Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as you swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Then they came in the camp of Israel. Here she was without pedigree. She just believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No matter what the condition we are in, my brothers and sisters, faith will still access God's power. That's not the rest of the story. You have to realize that her name is spelled Resh Chet Vet in Hebrew. The Aleph Bet. Bet is the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. But if it appears in some context of letters, it's pronounced Vet. It's like Abraham in English is Avraham in Hebrew. The B is pronounced as a V. It's a Vet. And so we have the same thing in Rahab's name. It's only three letters, and it's the bet that should be pronounced like a V, and the H here is chet, so we don't have chet, that sound in Hebrew. So it's not Rahab, it's Rahav. Rahav. And that's very, very important, because if we just go over to Matthew, the fifth chapter, which would be good for you to do, Matthew, the fifth chapter, because I just want to show you how far faith will take you.
Amen.
And if you just worship Him, faith will take you to the highest planes, no matter where you're at.
Amen.
She was in the lowest of the lowest of professions, probably that the earth had to offer. Abuse of her body, abuse of her mind. But notice here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, because the translation out of Greek is closer to the Hebrew than the English translation out of Hebrew. Verse 5, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahav, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. Now, notice what's taking place. Rahab, Rahab the harlot, living inside of the children of Israel, is no longer a harlot. She marries Solomon, and they have a son named Boaz. Boaz of Ruth fame. Now you understand why Boaz did not mind taking a Gentile woman who had begun to worship the God of the Jews in Ruth. But the story doesn't stop there. Ruth, glory to God, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse, David the king, David the psalmist, David the prophet, that David great-great-grandmother was the harlot that released her faith in the God of Israel, who was without a covenant. She was put in, but not only did David come from her, not only did David come from Ruth, another Gentile woman, but Jesus came from them.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my brothers and sisters, it matters not who your mom and daddy are. It matters not, glory be unto God, if you got the right spiritual pedigree. I mean, you could have been Catholic all of your life. You could have been Baptist all of your life, where you never saw one healing line, and God will still heal you if you'll release your faith.
Amen.
He doesn't care. You could be Presbyterian and never had a healing line in your church, and faith will still get you delivered.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you what, that, my brothers and sisters, faith gets you places no place nobody else can get you.
Amen.
There's no amount of money that could have gotten that woman into the lineage that she got into and responsible for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. No amount of money. No man. This woman was not Jewish. But faith got her to a place nothing else could get her to. I don't know, there's something in that tonight. Glory to God. Faith will take you to the highest. Faith will replace anything you need replaced and give you anything you need to give. If you just get into the Word, glory to God. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, glory to God. Back over to Hebrews, if you would please, chapter 11. Rahab needs to appear one more time. Verse 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Those that didn't believe perished, but she didn't, because she believed. And this little harlot girl, this little prostitute girl, makes the great hall of faith right up there with Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, all the line. This little prostitute girl makes the line because of faith. We really don't have excuse. We can't say, well, this is just too hard for me because you just don't know how I was raised. Well, how was this little girl raised? And besides that, you don't know what your moment of faith is going to do for your destiny. Hallelujah. Faith will change your destiny. That's just the way it is. You can make a decision. I refuse to be poor. I refuse to have lack. And you get into the Word of God, and lack will not have its ugly tentacles wrapped around your throat, sucking the very life and prosperity out of you. You can say in the name of Jesus, sickness and disease and all other forms of physical insufficiencies, you are not going to lap your tentacles around my throat and suck life out of me, because I'm healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then get into the Word and feed your spirit. And then fall down on your face and worship the Lord. Go back with me, if you would please, to Luke. Hallelujah. Luke. The 17th chapter. Faith will manifest itself through worship. You pull yourself before God and fall down before Him and magnify Him as the great Creator, and all of a sudden you will realize that He has the strength to do everything He said that He will do. Everything. Hallelujah. God's good.
Amen.
Notice what it says. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Just like with him, with the Syrophoenician, salvation came to her household because of faith, and salvation came to Rahab's house because of faith. I tell you what, faith will not be overlooked by God. Amen. Salvation will come for all of our house. Hallelujah. Now, I kept making reference to Ephesians, the second chapter. I just feel like I need to go over there so you'll know where that's at. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Gentiles didn't have a God. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of the Anointed One and His anointing. So we were without God, but the blood for me was shed and brought me near. Glory to God. Now, the Jewish God is my God. Not the Islamic God, not the Muslim God, but our God is the same as the Jewish God. The Muslims don't serve Jehovah, we do. Hallelujah. I don't know why I just put that in there, but somebody needs to hear it. Glory to God.